Scott Laughlin here, along with District 87 School Superintendent Barry Riley. And with him is the Director of Safety and Security for District 87, Brian Evans. Well, I guess I know what we're going to talk about. Welcome, guys.
Good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
Are y'all excited about spring break?
Oh,
do you go on a spring break?
I am.
Does the Super go on a spring break?
Absolutely. It's a great time to get away. Everything basically shuts down. And thankfully, I heard your weather forecast. That'll be after District 87 is
right.
Closed. So, I'm excited about taking that week off. I think everyone is. It's that time of year.
Well, okay. I hope you can get out. I hope you're not leaving Friday night.
No.
Dealing with a snowstorm up north to go to Chicago. All right. People aren't going to have to deal with that. I don't know how bad it's going to be. We'll dive into it. So, let's talk about school safety with all that's going on. There was just another school shooting earlier this week. I imagine, and I know educators. I'm not well educated, but I know educators. And I know former principals. I know former superintendents. And there's one former principal that told me it was on his mind every day. He thinks about that after what happened out in Littleton, Colorado. Is it on the top of your mind every day?
Well, there's events that occur across the nation, it seems, almost once a month, a pretty significant event, a school shooting. We had the major one recently in Florida. We had one very recent in Maryland. Those things tend to heighten the anxiety. And what I can say this year, more than any year that I've noticed, going back to the Colorado incident, which was some time ago, it's affected kids more today, given that Florida incident, than I've noticed in a long time. And that by affected them more, I'm meaning that kids are a little more anxious. They're concerned about it. They're taking steps. We had the National Walkout Day that occurred last week to raise attention to school violence. I was really impressed with our kids because at the junior high and the high school, they really came forward and worked with our staff and administrators to do something productive that would extend beyond that particular day. They really want to reach out to other kids to make sure no kid feels isolated at school, make sure that every kid has a connection. And to me, the best thing that we can do is invest in those types of things. I do get asked a lot, is it important for you to harden your buildings, meaning get them to a point where you can lock every single door, even put what are called man holders, bulletproof glass. You're now seeing companies come out with bulletproof backpacks. I mean, for goodness sakes, these are things that we shouldn't have to be talking about with our staff and community, but that's the reality of what we live in. But what I tell people is, look, we can do all kinds of things to minimize risk, but the most important things are communication and building those relationships with kids and then between kids, because what we want is for a free flow of information so that if anyone ever feels unsafe, they feel a trusting relationship to come forward and share that information.
And here with you is Brian Evans, who's the Director of Safety and Security for District 87. How long have you had that position?
This is my second year with District 87. I retired from the Bloomington Police Department after almost 26 years. During that time, I was actually in the School Resource Officer Program, so I had the opportunity to work with Dr. Riley for several years in that capacity. And then the transition over to District 87 after I left Bloomington Police Department.
Are you the initial?
Yes, this is the first. In fact, there's very few in the state and perhaps even across the country that have a position similar to Brian's. The timing of this just worked out really well. We had three school resource officers when Brian was in that role, and when he was getting close to retirement, I had pondered this type of position to really take a good look at our overall safety and security needs across the district. Brian has a wealth of knowledge and expertise. He has great connections with the first responders, a wonderful demeanor to teach crisis prevention and intervention, which is a de-escalation technique. So there's a wealth of things that he brings to this that your typical person will not. And given what we've experienced with this position and what he's been able to bring, if I were to be anywhere else, this would be one of the first things I would want to do, was to get a position like this to oversee the safety and security needs of the district. Because someone like me or a building principal, we have some expertise, but this is what this guy is trained in. And given his background in the school and knowledge of how we operate, combining that with his expertise in the field being a police officer, it is a perfect match. It really helps our overall safety and security.
So, Brian, then I imagine you work closely with the Bloomington Police Department, the school resource officers.
Absolutely. We actually, as Dr. Riley mentioned, working with the local first responders, we start our year out. You had mentioned some of the tragedies as far as the school shootings that have occurred recently, more recent. We start our school year out working with first responders. We meet. We do our annual review, which is a mandate by the state. We get together with McLean County, Bloomington Police, Bloomington Fire, State Police sometimes, and we get together and we review our crisis plans, and we start before the school year even begins, before the first student even walks in the front door for class. We talk about everything from what we're doing, how updated we are on our drill process, which is also a state mandate, which we do. And during the summertime, even leading up to this, we work with the first responders on training in our buildings. Police do active shooter training. They do SWAT training. Bloomington Fire Department has had the opportunity to use some of, actually two buildings that District 87 purchased to actually go inside and do active training as far as breaching the doors and pulling drywall off the walls and things like that. So they're in our school buildings way before the school year even starts, training in those and working closely with me so that we can work close together as well.
How do you address bullying now? What's protocol bullying if you witness it, if you get complaints about it? And a twofold question, is it dying down with the events that have happened over the last several years? Are we seeing less of it?
That's a good question, perhaps, but I think the thing that we're doing today more than we ever have are we're practicing restorative practices, which puts people together. That could be the kids that this is, of course, that this is happening with, both the bully, the victim, families, and going through a restorative practice to make sure, obviously, that it stops. But to gain an understanding, especially for that person who might be instigating this, of the impact it truly is having. We have hotlines at each of our buildings that are posted out there for kids to anonymously call or for parents to anonymously report things if they see something and they're not comfortable. But certainly anything that our staff views or observes or turns into us, we're following up on, and we take that seriously. Is it occurring? Yes. I mean, we have 1,200 kids in a middle school, and if you think about that age group, that's the age group where that tends to happen more than others. But I would say through our PBIS, MTSS, multi-tiered systems of support, those programs will address that, but the restorative practices is something in recent years that is fairly new, and that's something that we're incorporating more and more today than ever before.
Talk about those hotlines. Do you get phone calls, and are they increased in intensity after an incident like we had in Florida?
You know, it's interesting. We were just talking about this week, because we hadn't been getting calls for some time, or they were few and far between. So that's one of the points of data that I look at and say, okay, do we need to refocus on this? Do we need to make sure that kids see those posters and are aware of these hotlines and push some information out so that people, you know, just reintegrate people into it? Or is it that we're seeing less of it? So one data point, meaning the number of calls that we get in that hotline, they're down. They're fewer. So that could tell us that perhaps we're seeing less. We'll run our discipline reports, and we have not analyzed that yet as of this year, but certainly we will, and that'll give us some interesting data. But by and large, we're seeing fewer calls that are going to that hotline. I think some of it is there's more trust that kids feel to be able to go to an adult without a fear of something's going to happen by doing so. Although that still exists to some degree, it just depends on the circumstances and the kids and the families. But I think that we're seeing less because of those trusting relationships that we're really focusing on.
So let me ask you, Brian, where do you see, if the trend continues, what's a school going to be like 10 years from now?
Well, it's hard to say, you know, with society and things that are going on in, amongst everything now. But I think the key point with school districts is just to continue to do what they're doing. And that's start the beginning of each year, addressing all safety concerns as far as not just with the students, but the building layout. We just added some newer markings for our buildings as far as labeling for first responders to come to the buildings if they do need to respond. Checking those exterior doors, making sure people aren't propping them open, making sure the office staff is utilizing the buzzer systems. Things like that, if we stay on top of that and talk about that and continue to go over that, that's our best defense, just for basic awareness, everybody staying on top of it the best they can.
You're in the business. What do you think of arming teachers that are qualified?
Well, there's a lot of debate out there now. I've looked up on different sites and heard from different news places. But when you go down that road, there's a lot to be looked into. Carrying a firearm, especially within a school building, carries a lot of baggage. There's a lot of responsibility there. As far as arming teachers and things like that, again, that's something that school district boards and superintendents, you know, if they go down that road or look into that, they really need to dig deep and research it.
And I'll add to that that District 87 has absolutely zero interest in going down that path. If you think about someone like Brian, who is a trained police officer, the amount of training that he has had to go through and our school resource officers is substantial and ongoing. And even with that kind of training, when those moments arise where you may have to pull that firearm and actually utilize it, you want to be 100% certain that that individual has gone through every bit of professional training to prepare them for that moment. And if you think about the heightened anxiety that occurs in a moment like that, I don't think that we're going to get that with those who are simply qualified for concealed carry. And I really have no confidence that that would be something positive. I truly think that while that might be a popular thing that has come straight from the leader of our country, I think it's a knee-jerk reaction. And the best thing we can do is focus on the relationship piece, making sure all kids feel a connection, because the likelihood of an event is more likely to come from the people that are in that building as opposed to just some random person coming up there. The most recent shooting that we had, actually going back to the Florida one, there was a connection to that school that young man had. So I think that we need to do our best to focus on those things. Obviously, we have to address safety and security in other ways to make sure their points of entry are limited to those who really have a reason to be there. But by and large, we need to work on those relationships.
How many school districts have the luxury of having a director of safety and security? I imagine not many.
Well, I don't know. There's a handful across the state that we're aware of. I think down in Springfield, I think Chatham is one that might have one, and there may be a few up in the suburb area. But Brian's job is solely around the safety and security effort and risk management. And what that means is it allows us to fund that position using TORT funds, which they're not coming from the education fund, which pays for teachers and supplies and the things that you think of in the classroom. So you have a little more flexibility. And I'm actually surprised that districts are not employing people in this position. Obviously, a district of our size, it makes sense compared to maybe a small district. But to me, Brian's been worth his weight in gold. We've really benefited, and our staff has, and our students have, and I feel very fortunate that we have that, and the board has supported it. But I can't imagine life without it. It actually is very important to us.
Boy, Dr. Mark Daniels probably going, hey, can I borrow him for a couple of days?
Oh, Mark knows Brian well, yeah. And we know Mark well. We Mark and I actually communicate a lot about safety and security. I know it's right up at the top of his list of concerns. We've had a number of conversations about that. And we've actually shared expertise. Unit 5 has schools that are within the city of Bloomington, and so Brian has done work in the past with some of their schools, and maybe even some of our resource officers have done that as well. But there's a lot of communication that goes back and forth between those resource officers because they have at least one that we work fairly closely with.
And do you communicate with some of the other people in your position in some of the other school districts? Do you get together and brainstorm? Or?
Yeah, actually, with different trainings and webinars, and we have some groups as well that we can exchange what's going on, some current trends, what each district may be doing, and we kind of go back and forth with each other.
All right. Well, nice to meet you. Let's talk about some other things here. Now, you asked me if I'd been by because I drive by the football field, but I, you know what? I forget to look.
Well,
I'm looking for, you know.
You need to look for the multi-purpose field because
it's not a football field. That's right.
This is a soccer field when the soccer team's on it. It's a football field when the football team plays on it. But you would hear from my band kids and parents that they're really thankful that we've redone the band field. And that's kind of neat when you have all these different groups who will now have an opportunity to get on that field more than they ever have before. We're really excited about that. If you haven't driven down Locust Street or Colton Avenue where the complex is, I would encourage you to do that. If you look over to the field now, it's just about complete. It looks like a field.
The grass is down. Because last time I looked, it was all looked white.
Yeah, that would have been the drainage system being put in at that time. But no, it is a field now, and it's beautiful. It really pops. And the great thing is, we're going to have PE classes on it. It will get utilized over and over and over again. And in fact, when they put the sand and the rubber, which is the last pieces of material that go in that, and we're hoping that that gets done this week, if not, probably by next week, they'll tell you, get people on it immediately. So next week we have a couple of girls' soccer matches, and we're hopeful that the field will be ready for use next week for them to be the first group to hold a contest on it.
Soccer gets the first shot at
it. Awesome. I'm really happy about that. The girls' soccer team will be the first program to get to use it because the soccer program hasn't been on it for a long, long time. So it seems fitting that they ought to be the first ones on there.
And the other project, groundbreaking ceremony today?
Today, this afternoon at 12:30 at BHS in the auditorium, we will hold a groundbreaking ceremony to we're going to build a new band room addition. That work will start over spring break, so next week. And then we also will have some work done this summer, which will remodel the current band room for the growing orchestra and remodel the current orchestra room for our chorus. And so those three projects will be completed by August and ready to roll for the upcoming school year. Very exciting. Wow. A lot of work done in a short amount of time. So it'll be a little bit disruptive on that side of the building, which is the southeast part of the building where our student parking lot is. So we just ask for some patience, knowing that in the end we're going to have a remarkable addition to our building.
You're going to take up some parking spaces with this addition?
It'll take up a few, maybe a front row, but we have plenty of parking available. We have the north side of the building that has plenty of space available throughout the day. So even though we'll create some disruption for the remainder of this school year, the excitement of what this will bring is well worth those few couple of months of inconvenience.
And if we go to the District 87 website, we can see pictures of the artist rendering of what this is going to look like upon completion. With
yes.
that and the multi-purpose field?
Yes,
I'm not going to say that. I'm going to call it that.
Well, I was able to get my director of facilities there. It took a while, but yeah. Dr. Manahan, now, he's very clear and good about doing that. No, if you go to our website, I believe it would be under the school board tab under presentations, and you'll find our facility presentations, and these will be out there for
people to see. Well, you made the extra effort. You brought like wall hanging in for me to look at.
You know, you can take a photograph of that and throw it up on your
Facebook
social media page.
Oh, yeah. We'll get Kevin on that. All right. Well, good seeing you. Enjoy your spring break. Thanks. Going anywhere?
We're going to take a little trip, my son will be manning the fort here at home, so we'll make sure that we've got eyes on the place while we're gone.
Well, yeah. You got your security guy, too. Give it a pass.
He'll be around to keep an eye on it.
All right. Well, whatever you do, have a good spring break. Nice meeting you, Brian. We'll take a break.